హరే కృష్ణ. సో ఎవ్రీవన్ ఈజ్ హ్యాపీలీ సిచ్యుయేటెడ్ ఇన్ శ్రీ వృందావన్ ధామ్. సో డిడ్ యూ ఆల్ టేక్ ప్రసాద్? సో శరణాగతి, the process of surrender, so wonderfully described by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Out of the six limbs, six angas, we have already discussed about Dainya and Atma Nivedan. Now the third aspect is Goptritte Boron. Gopta, the word Gopta means the Lord and Master. And Goptritte Boron means accepting Krishna as the Lord and Master. Prabhupada pointed out that although everyone wants to become the Lord and Master, but everyone ends up serving someone else. We see, like, practically everyone at some stage is accepting a job, and he is accepting his employer as the Lord and Master. He is serving his Lord and Master. We can see that in this age, the whole culture is based on becoming a servant. Everyone is trying to become, get a job. Get a job means become a servant. Find an employer to serve. So, although everyone is trying to be the Lord and Master, but everyone is ending up becoming a servant. Whole culture, Prabhupada pointed out, when Prabhupada opened the Gurukul here, during that time, a very important person came to see Srila Prabhupada, along with his three daughters-in-law and a few grandchildren. They came to see Srila Prabhupada. His name was Jayadayal Dalmia. The Dalmia Industries, a very famous group of industries, and very nice person, Jayadayal Dalmia. And so Prabhupada was speaking to him, and Prabhupada was telling him that he should send his grandchildren to the Gurukul. And Prabhupada told him that today's education is simply to make servants. Sudras. It's a Sudra education. Because the purpose of education is to get a job. Get a job means to become a servant of somebody. Prabhupada said, your children, your grandchildren don't need to take up a job. Rather, your grandchildren will provide jobs for thousands. your grandchildren need to become leaders. And in order to become leaders, they must know how to lead and where to lead. So Prabhupada was suggesting that he send his grandchildren to the Gurukul. And I saw it was such a wonderful analysis that today's education is a sutra education. All the education is actually meant for creating sutras. What is the purpose of education? Just to get a job. They want to become MBA. They want to become engineers. They want to become accountants. BSc, MSc. All these are just to get a degree, to get a job. Very few are going for independent occupation or self-employment, running his own business. Very few. And so this is our nature. We must serve, we must become servants. So why not become the servant of the real master? Instead of becoming servants of useless masters, instead of becoming servants of another servant, why not become the servant of the real master? And the real master is Krishna. Shadabeshwareshwara. He is the Ishvara of all Ishvaras. Tumi Shadabeshwareshwara Brajendra Kumar. Maybe you can discuss that song also afterwards. So we will sing this one. This how to accept Krishna as our Lord and Master. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, Ki jani ki bole tomar dhamete hoinu sharanagato. কি জানি কি বলে তোমার ধামেতে হইনু শরণাগত. I do not know how I have taken shelter of you in your holy dham. তুমি দয়াময় পতিত পাবন পতিত তারণ. You are very merciful and you are delivering all the fallen souls, potito. You are the savior of the fallen souls and you are delivering all the fallen souls. Potito tarane rato. You are engaged in delivering all the fallen souls. You are the savior of the fallen souls. And because you are engaged in saving the fallen souls, that's why you have taken this compassion upon me, mercy upon me, and you have delivered me. I have taken shelter of your lotus feet. Bharoshay amar ei matro nath tumi to korunamoy. My only hope, Bharoshay Amar Ek Matra Nath. O my Lord, my only hope is that you are extremely merciful. Korunamoy, you are extremely merciful. তব দয়া পাত্র নাহি মোর সম অবশ্য ঘুচাবে ভয়। দের ইজ নো ওয়ান অ্যাজ এলিজিবল অ্যাজ আই অ্যাম টু রিসিভ ইয়োর মার্সি। আই এম কনফিডেন্ট দ্যাট ইউ উইল সেভ মি, ইউ উইল ডেলিভার মি ফ্রম অল the fears and all the suffering conditions. That is why we should take shelter of Krishna. Because he can deliver us. He can save us from the most dangerous situations. Mrityur Mrityur Namam Maham. Krishna, Lord Nrisingadev, is the death of death personified. That is what the Lord is. Why should we worry about dying? Why should we be afraid of death when we have taken shelter of the death of death? Amare tarite কাহারো শকতি অবনি ভিতরে নাহি। নো ওয়ান হ্যাজ দ্য পাওয়ার টু ডেলিভার মি অর টু প্রোটেক্ট মি অর সেভ মি। নো ওয়ান ক্যান তারিতে টু ডেলিভার মি। নো ওয়ান হ্যাজ দ্য পাওয়ার অর এবিলিটি টু ডেলিভার মি ইন দিস ওয়ার্ল্ড। দয়ালু ঠাকুর ঘোষণা তোমার অধম পামরে ত্রাহি। ও মাই মার্সিফুল লর্ড, ইউ হ্যাভ অ্যানাউন্সড দ্যাট ইউ উইল ডেলিভার দ্য ফলেন কন্ডিশন সোলস। সকল ছাড়িয়া আসিয়াছি আমি তোমার চরণে নাথ। গিভিং আপ এভরিথিং, I have come, my Lord, at your lotus feet. Ami nitto dash, tumi paloita, tumi gopta jagannath. I am your eternal servant and you are my maintainer. You are my only Lord and Master, gopta. You are my only Lord and Master. You are the Lord of the entire universe, Jagannath. Tomaro shokol ami matro dash, amare taribe tumi. Everything belongs to you and I am your eternal servant. Therefore, you will deliver me. Tomar charon করিনু বরণ আমার নাহিত আমি। নাও দ্যাট আই হ্যাভ টেকেন শেল্টার অফ ইয়ার লোটাস ফিট, আই এম নট মাইন এনি মোর, আই হ্যাভ বিকাম ইয়ার্স কমপ্লিটলি। ভকতি বিনোদ কাঁদিয়া শরণ লয়েছে তোমার উপায়। ক্রাইং ইনসেসেন্টলি Bhakti Vinod Thakur is saying that I have accepted your lotus feet. Kshami aporad name ruchi diya palono karo hetai. Forgiving all my offenses, giving me the taste of the holy name, please maintain me. কি জানি কি বলে তোমার ধামেতে, হইনু শরণাগত। Thank you.
জানকী বলে তোমার ধামেতে হইন শরণাগত তুমি পতিত পাবন পতিত তারণের তুমি দয়াম পতিত পাবন পতিত তারণের ভরসায়ামা মাত্র না তুমি তো করুণাম ভরসায়ামা মাত্র না তুমি তো করুণাম তব দয়া পাত্র নাহি মোর সম অবশ্য ঘুচাবে দয়া পাত্র নাহি মোর সম অবশ্য ঘুচাবে
হোয়াট হ্যাপেনিং
তবুদয়া পাত্র নাহি মোর সম অবশ্য খুঁজাবে ভয় আমারি তারিতে কাহার সকতি অবনি ভিতরে নাহি আমারি তারিতে কাহার সকতি অবনি ভিতরে নাহি
আমারি তারিতে
দয়াল ঠাকুর ঘোষণা তোমার অধম পামরে গাহী দয়াল ঠাকুর ঘোষণা তোমার অধম পামরে গাহী সকল ছাড়িয়া আসিয়াছি আমি তোমার চরণে না সকল ছাড়িয়া আসিয়াছি আমি তোমার চরণে না আমি নিতদা তুমি পালোইতা তুমি গোপ্তা জগন্নাথ আমি নিতদা তুমি পালোইতা তুমি গোপ্তা জগন্নাথ তোমার সব আমি মাত্র গা আমারে তারিবে তুমি তোমার সব আমি মাত্র দা আমারে তারিবে তুমি তোমার চরণ করিন বরণ আমার নাহি তো আমি তোমার চর করিন বর আমার নাহি তো আমি ভকতি বিন কাঁদিয়া শরণ লইছে তোমার ভকতি বিন কাঁদিয়া শরণ লইছে তোমার খমি অপরা নামে রুচি দিয়া পালন করো হে ভূমি অপরা নামে রুচি দিয়া পালন করো বেদা কি জানি কি বলে তোমার ধামেতে হইলাম শরণাগত কি জানি কি বলে তোমার ধামেতে হইন শরণাগত হরে কৃষ্ণ Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Rama
Hare Krishna. So, did you find out who is your only Lord and Master? So, how many of you have found that out? So, what are you going to do about that now? Very good. Now, why should you surrender? Now that is another thing. We surrender because He is going to protect us. The Master must take care of His servants. Now our Supreme Master Krishna will take care of us. So that takes us to the next song. What is the next aspect? Very good. Abhoshya Rokhibe Krishna Bishash Palon. To have that implicit faith that Krishna will protect me. This faith is very, very important. We should not have any doubt about that. And then only we'll be able to face any situation without fear. We'll become totally free from anxiety and fear. Because we know that Krishna is there. Just imagine Prahlad Maharaj. Just a little 6-year-old boy. And what is his situation? His father, who was the king of the demons, who defeated the demigods, such a powerful person. The demigod's power is beyond our imagination. A small little arrangement by the demigods, like a earthquake or tsunami, can we deal with that? Cyclone, tornado, can we deal with that? These are just the regular thing that the demigods deal with. They are controlling all the affairs of this nature. Can you imagine how powerful these demigods are? And Hiranyakashipu could defeat the demigods. Demigods have weapons like thunder. Like Hiranyakashipu could not only deal with those demigods, but defeat them. And that person who defeated the demigods wants to kill Prahlad, his own son. Now consider Prahlad's situation. What was Prahlad's situation at that time? What was Prahlad thinking at that time? That's what we will discuss in this song. Tumi to maribe jari, ketare rakhite pari. When you want to kill somebody, who can protect him? Who can save him? If Krishna wants to kill somebody, can anybody protect him, or can anybody save him? Yes. So, this is the mood of a devotee. If you want to kill somebody, Now who can protect me, protect him? So if you want to kill me, let me just surrender to that wish of yours and let me die. And because tobo icha bosh tribhuvan, by your will the entire three planetary systems are being controlled. Brahma adi devogan tobo dash agonan kore tobo aggaro palon. The demigods like Lord Brahma, they are your innumerable servants, tobo dash agonan. All these demigods are your servants. And they are abiding by your commands. Tobo agga, kore tobo aggaro palon. Tobo ichhamate jato, groho gon abirato, shubha shubha fal kore dan. It is due to your will, due to your wish, different planets are giving auspicious or inauspicious results. It is not that the different planets are actually, astrology shows that it is the planet's influence that is actually controlling us. But here Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying that the planets are giving auspicious and inauspicious results simply according to your wish. Rog, shok, mriti, bhoy, tobo ichha mate hoy, tobo agya sada baloban. Disease, lamentation, suffering, death, fear, all happen due to your wish. Your order is always the prominent factor. Tobo bhaye bayu boy. It is due to your fear that wind is blowing. Surya chandra samuday. And sun and moon and other planets. Shosha niyamito karjo kari. Execute their respective duties. Tumi to parameshwar parabrahma paratpar tabo bash bhakato antare. You are the supreme personality, you are the source of Brahman, you are the source of everything, and you reside in the heart of your devotee. Sada shuddha siddha kam, all your activities are always absolutely pure and absolutely perfect, and your name is Bhakata Vatsal, the maintainer of your devotees. Bhakata janer nitya shami, and you are the eternal master of all the devotees. Tumi to rakhibe jare ke tare marite pare. And if you want to protect somebody, who can kill him? Shakol bidhir bidhi tumi. You are the destiny of all destiny. Tomar charone nath kori ache pranipat bhakoti binodo tabodash. Haribo, it's all right, go. So, Bhakuti Vinod, your servant, has come to your lotus feet in order to offer himself. Bipad hoite shami obosho tahare tumi rokhibe etahar bishash. My Lord, you will positively protect him from all kinds of dangers. This is his implicit faith. Isn't it wonderful? Krishna is the supreme proprietor. Krishna is the supreme controller. There are other controllers. The demigods are different controllers. But they are executing their respective duties due to Krishna's command. They are simply appointed employees of Krishna. They don't have any independent will to do anything. So ultimately it is Krishna who is controlling everything. Therefore, if one takes shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, then how can he possibly have any fear? Isn't this the most simplest way to become free from anxiety and fear? Krishna is there. Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. Krishna is the supreme controller. And if I take shelter of him, won't he protect me? Won't he maintain me? So this faith is very, very important. We should have that implicit faith. So, the fourth aspect of Sharanagati is this, that Krishna will protect me. Krishna will protect me. Sometimes the fear may arise that, well, we see sometimes the devotees are meeting some danger, devotees are facing some calamity. Sometimes we see that the devotees are dying. But what is the consideration here? The body may perish, but Krishna will positively protect the soul. Krishna's business is not so much with this body. Krishna's business is with the soul. Well, Krishna will protect the body also, but sometimes it may not happen. But also, Krishna may save the body also. A wonderful example, during the battle with Ravan, many monkeys died. Many monkeys died. But Krishna revived them all. In that respect, there is a very beautiful anecdote in the Ramayana. After the battle was over, Bibhishan is coronated. So all the great personalities came to attend that occasion. Indra also came. So Indra came to Ramchandra and asked, "My Lord, what can I do for you? Please allow me to do something." So Ramchandra said, "Revive all the monkeys those who died in the battle." Indra said, "That's beyond my ability. I can't bring back the dead." At the most, Lord Shiva can do that. No one else, none of the demigods, not even Brahma can do that. But if you empower me, then maybe I'll be able to do it. So, in this way, Krishna, through these wonderful pastimes, Krishna himself did not revive the monkeys. It is through Indra Krishna actually revived all the monkeys. So all the soldiers who died, they all were revived. Not a single one died. So that is the potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And sometimes we see that sometimes the devotees meet with accident and they die, apparently die. Now what do we have to understand? Sometimes people question that. And the answer is that Krishna will protect the soul, will take care of the soul, not the body. Sometimes the body may perish. And in that respect, I give an example that sometimes a surgeon, in order to operate on the patient, he tears off the clothes, the dress, his clothes. Because in order to operate, sometimes it may be necessary. In a hurry, he just doesn't wait. He cuts the shirt or coat just to access to that region where he have to operate. Now if somebody starts crying, "Oh, my shirt is torn, my shirt is spoiled, my beautiful coat is spoiled." Now the surgeon's business is not to take care of the clothes. That's the washerman's business. Surgeon's business is to take care of the body. Similarly, Krishna's business is to take care of the soul, not so much the body. So we must have that faith, even if the body has to perish, but Krishna will protect the soul. Even those who are not surrendered, Krishna takes care of them in such a wonderful way. So what to speak of those who are taking shelter of Krishna's lotus feet? Those who are not surrendered to Krishna, though even those who are inimical to Krishna, Krishna is providing all the food that they need. Krishna is providing all the water that they need to drink. Krishna is providing all the oxygen that need to breathe. Even to his enemies, he is providing. So what to speak of his devotees? Therefore, we should have that implicit faith that if I surrender to Krishna's lotus feet, Krishna will positively protect me. Krishna will positively maintain me. Abhoshya rakhibe. Abhoshya means positively. Positively. Without any doubt. Rakshibe. Rakshibe means he will protect. Abhoshya rakhibe Krishna. Krishna will protect me. That implicit faith, Vishwash Palon. We should never ever doubt the result of our surrender. If we sincerely surrender to Krishna, Krishna will take care of us in all respects. And one thing we can notice, when we develop these attitudes, as we are discussing, Dainna, Atma Nivedan, Goptritte Boron, Avashya Rakhibe Krishna Vishwash Palon, it actually purifies us internally. As we develop these attitudes, internally we feel secured. Internally we feel purified. Internally we feel exalted. That is the result of surrendering to Krishna and by following these processes. So let's sing this song.
Tumi tomari bejare
কে তারে রাখিতে পারে, তব ইচ্ছা বশ ত্রিভুবন। তুমি তোমারি বেজারে, কে তারে রাখিতে পারে, তব ইচ্ছা বশ ত্রিভুবন। কে তারে রাখিতে পারে, তব বশ ত্রিভুবন। ব্রহ্মায়াদি দেবগণ তব দাসয়গণ, করে তব আজ্ঞার পালন। ব্রহ্মায়াদি দেবগণ তব দাসয়গণ, করে তব আজ্ঞার পালন। তব ইচ্ছা মতে যত গ্রহ গণয় বিরত, শুভাশুভ ফল করে দান। তব ইচ্ছা মতে যত গ্রহ গণয় বিরত, শুভাশুভ ফল করে দান। রোগ শোক মৃতি ভব ইচ্ছা মতে হব আজ্ঞা সদব। রোগ শোক মৃতি ভব ইচ্ছা মতে হব আজ্ঞা সদব। বায়ু ব চন্দ্র সূর্য সমুদ, শশনীয় মিত
তবু ভয়ে বায়ুব চন্দ্র সূর্য সমুদ শশনিয়মিত কার্য করে তুমি তো পরমেশ্বর পরব্রহ্ম পরাত্পর তব বাসব কত অন্তরে তুমি তো পরমেশ্বর পরব্রহ্ম পরাত্পর তব বাসব কত অন্তরে সদা শুদ্ধ সিদ্ধ কাম ভকত বৎসল নাম ভকত জনের নিত্য স্বামী সদা শুদ্ধ সিদ্ধ কাম ভকত বৎসল নাম ভকত জনের নিত্য স্বামী তুমি তো রাখিবে যারে কেতারে মারিতে পারে সকল বিধির বিধি তুমি তুমি তো রাখিবে যারে কেতারে মারিতে পারে সকল বিধির বিধি তুমি তোমার চরণে না করিয়াছে প্রণিপাত ভক্তি বিনোদ তবুদা তোমার চরণে না করিয়াছে প্রণিপাত ভক্তি বিনোদ তবুদা বিপদ হইতে স্বামী অবশ্য তাহারে তুমি রক্ষিবে তাহার এ বিশ্বাস বিপদ হইতে স্বামী অবশ্য তাহারে তুমি রক্ষিবে তাহার এ তুমি তোমারি বেজারে কে তার রাখিতে পারে তব ইচ্ছা বশ ত্রিভুবন তুমি তো রাখিবে যারে কে তারে মারিতে পারে সকল বিধির বিধি তুমি
Hare Krishna, you all are such wonderful singers. Thank you. Hare Krishna. So, maybe we can sing another song now. This morning I mentioned about the prayer by Lord Shiva, which is known as the sidelong glance of Srimati Radharani. Munindra Vrinda Vandite Triloko Shoko Harini Prasanna Bhaktra Pankaje Nikunja Bhu Vilashini. It's a beautiful song. So somebody requested that I sung this song also today. So we will sing that now. Munindra Vrinda Vandite Triloko Shoko Harini Prasanna Bhaktra Pankaje Nikunja Bhu Vilashini Vandite Triloko Shoko Harini Prasanna Bhaktra Pankaje Nikunja Bhu Vilashini Brajendra Bhanu Nandini
Brujendra Sunu Sangate Kada Kori Shoshi Homa Kripa Kata Shobhajana Brujendra Bhanu Nandini Brujendra Sunu Sangate Kada Kori Shoshi Homa Kripa Kataksha Bhajana Kripa Kada Kari Shashi Homa Kripa Kataksha Bhajana Kada Kari Shashi Homa Kripa Kataksha Bhajana अशोक वृक्ष बल्लरी वितान मंडप स्थिते प्रबाल बाल पल्लव प्रभारुनां भृकोमले अशोक वृक्ष बल्लरी वितान मंडप स्थिते प्रबाल बाल पल्लव प्रभारुनां भृकोमले बरा भय स्फुरात परे प्रभूत संपदालये कदा करिष्य शिहोमा कृपा कटाक्ष भाजन पराभय स्फुरात करे प्रभूत संपदालये कदा करिष्यसि होमा कृपा कटाक्ष भाजन बरा भय सुरत करे प्रभूत संपदालये कदा करिष्यसि होमा कृपा कटाक्ष भाजन prasanga bhanguro bhuvam abhibhrama shashambhrama driganto vana Ananga ranga mangala prasanga bhangura bhuvam shabhi brahma shasham brahma driganta bana Nirantaram Vashikrita Pratita Nanda Nandani Kadakari Shashi Homa Kripa Kataksha Bhajana Nirantaram Vashikrita Pratita Nanda Nandani Kadakari Shashi Homa Kripa Kataksha Bhajana Torit Shubarna Champako Pradipta Gaura Vigrahe Mukha Prabha Parasta Kodi Sharodendu Mandale Shubarna Champate Pradipta Gaura Vigrahe Mukha Prabha Parasta Koti Sharodendu Mandale Chitra chitra sancharo chakuru shabalo chane kadakari shashi homa kripa kataksha bhajana Chitra chitra sancharo chakuru shabalo chane kadakari shashi homa kripa kataksha bhajana Kadakari kore shoshi homa kripa kataksha bhagana kada kore shoshi homa kripa kataksha bhagana kada kore shoshi homa kripa Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Nittai Gaur Hari Go, Hari Go, Hari Go, Hari Go. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Prabhupada. Premanande Hare Hare. So can you get the translation? I just noticed our very dear god sister Malati Mataji just came here and very humbly she is sitting on the floor. Please give her a seat. I think it will be better if Mother Malati comes on the stage. Mother Malati, how many of you know Mother Malati? Yeah. So how many of you want to see Mother Malati on the stage? Mother Malati is one of the first disciples of Srila Prabhupada. And she made amazing contribution to spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. She, along with her husband and four other friends, went to London practically penniless, following Srila Prabhupada's footsteps, and they opened up the preaching outside of America. It is due to their effort that George Harrison became attracted to Krishna consciousness, surrendered to Srila Prabhupada, and helped this movement in an incredible way. Malati Mataji ki jai. Is there any way to come up here? with Mother Malati, please. By the way, Mother Malati also is the first lady GBC of ISKCON. On the devotee's earnest request, please come, and they would like to hear about the early days. Is there any step here to move, step up? Ah, okay. Oh, you have a companion also. Sure. Please come. Get another chair. Okay. Yes, and there is also one of our early God sisters, practically at the very beginning of our ISKCON movement, Mother Konka Devi Dasi. Hare Krishna. Give her the mic. We'll do the translation afterwards. Have the light on. Do you want the fan, Mother Malati? Do you want the fan? Do you want the fan? Yeah, okay. Have the fan on and the lights on. We asked her to come up, but she wouldn't. Get another chair, yeah. She said she likes the cold floor. But it'll be nice.
Oh. Such a brilliant mind and pure-hearted devotee. And I came here to hear this beautiful end of your guitar. I didn't think you were going to leave the place. I feel like you're what do you want me to say?
I think what devotees would like to hear about the early days, how ISKCON was, how you all were serving, how you all became attracted to Srila Prabhupada. Switch it.
Personally, the attraction to Srila Prabhupada began with great skepticism, having met many previous, what we call, bogey yogis, people that could speak really eloquently, but behind the scenes, they didn't deliver. It means what they spoke sounded good to our foolish ears, but there was no substance. And as they were living their lives off stage, there was a great discrepancy in the words that they would speak on stage. And we could see that, even if we were not very civilized human beings. So So my first introduction to Srila Prabhupada was in late September 1966. And if anybody has read Mukunda Maharaj's book, Miracle on Second Avenue, he talks how he mentions how he met myself and my boyfriend, who were both living on a tall mountain. We had previously been friends, and my boyfriend Sam, although in the book somehow we changed our names, I'm not quite sure how that happened, but anyway, they had gone to college together, we'd been friends. And by some fate of providence, I ended up in the same town they were, in Portland, Oregon. The fate of providence was, as a young hippie, I was living in an uninhabited town on the coast of California above San Francisco. And I decided I would go to Mexico, which was south. So I walked out on the highway, which was a very quiet highway because it was not any happy place. And I went like this, means hitchhiking. I wanted a ride. But no vehicles were coming except for big logging trucks. And finally, one vehicle came heading north. And they stopped, and the driver said, "Hop in." But I'm thinking this vehicle's in the wrong direction, so I hesitated. And the driver said, "Where are you going?" I said, "Mexico." And he said, "Well, how long have you been sitting there?" And I didn't have a watch, but I knew it was a long time. And he said, "Hop in. At least you'll get somewhere." So I hopped in. And I ended up in Portland, Oregon. And the driver in the vehicle, who had been on this over the next 8 hours, his name was Sam. And as things were in those days, we quickly became boyfriend and girlfriend. And I met Mike and Jan, and Jan's sister's Joan. And different things happened, but one of them was that Mike went to New York. He was a jazz pianist. And Portland, Oregon was not exactly a place to hit big time. He was hoping to, you know, maybe get some notoriety. So he went with his girlfriend Jan to New York. In the meantime, myself and Sam ended up on the top of the mountain. And during that time, there would be correspondence. And at one point, we got a letter that told us that they were getting married. No, first they met a Swami. Okay, we met Swamis and we hadn't been too impressed. Next letter said they were getting married. And that was a little bit surprising and shocking because in the hippie Sampradaya, marriage was not recognized as being something to do, so we didn't do it. And then Joan went back to New York. She had gone to assist with her sister's wedding. So on the top of that mountain, we were there looking for forest fires. Not realizing the entire world is a blazing forest fire. At that point, we were looking for little tiny forest fires in the big forest. And we got one day off, and we went to another mountain. When we came back, there was a car, which was really, really unusual because to get to this mountain was a dirt road, very narrow, so nobody came there. And when we went into our little cabin, the little wooden cabin, there were our friends. There was Jan and Mike and Joan. And Jan had started the wood fire, we had a wood stove, and she was cooking something. So we were really happy to see them because it was a very isolated situation. And of course, we couldn't welcome them exactly. They'd already made themselves welcome. But we had thought to offer them something, and so we said, "Would you like some LSD?" And to our surprise, they said no. So then, when the this was the first prasadam, so first time they were honoring Krishna prasadam, we found out that now they were also vegetarians. And by the way, they had new names. So Jan was Janaki and Mike was Mukunda. And John was still John. So I was like checking this off, you know, like, wow, this must be a very serious Swami, because Mukunda was a very, very thoughtful person. He actually wasn't like himself a hippie type. He was, you know, he had a really fun side, spontaneous side, but he wasn't a reckless hippie type, like myself. So I could see something really happened here for them to make these drastic alterations in their life. And then during the dinner, Mukunda said, after dinner, I want to show you some very special books. And this is where I first met Srila Prabhupada, through the Srimad Bhagavatam, those three volumes of the first canto that he brought over on the Jalabhuta. So he introduced us to Srila Prabhupada through the Bhagavatam. And the hippie mentality was open, it was searching. The hippies were looking for peace and love, they were looking for truth, and looking for a lot of sense gratification, so things would get very confusing. And in terms of truth and substance like that, you know, God, well, they weren't sure if, you know, there were certain opinions. Some opinions, there was no God. In fact, there was a Time magazine cover at the time that said God is dead, because it was a popular notion. And some people said, we're all God. Everybody's God. I'm God, you're God. And that one kind of scared me because I look at my own life and I just thought, I'm God, this world is beautiful. So I had several experiences that assured me there was something bigger than me, but I didn't know what it was. And if it was God, then he couldn't be like me. It had to be something different than us. So I'm looking at this Bhagavatam, and I see on the cover, along on that cover, there's Vishnu with his blue skin, four arms, lying on a snake, and you don't know what snake is in, and all these other little things kind of coming out. And then there's a flower coming out of his navel with a lotus on the end, and there's a fellow with four heads. So I was like, who is this? And the Kundit is very straightforwardly and soberly said, this is God. And I completely felt some kind of reassurance at this point. He definitely didn't look like us. He didn't, you know, he looked like he did things we didn't do. And then I started looking through the book, and it was, it, I would say that that's what I meant about looking into the pages of something I had no understanding of, but could at the same time understand very, very deep. And there was one particular phrase that I kept encountering, was that the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And I'd see it over and over, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it caught me. And I thought, this person, the sense of being amazing, you know, you saw this ancient language, Sanskrit, the word by word, the translation, and then these illuminated purports. This person had something. These other people, they just had words. But this person has something, and it's backed up. You know, I didn't understand parampara, but I understood that this was coming from a very ancient space. So at that point, I felt like I want to meet this person, I want to meet this teacher. And Sam always was telling from the beginning of our relationship that we have to get a guru, we need to get a teacher. But I was a typical, less intelligent, foolish American woman, and I would say, I don't want anyone telling me how to live my life. I want to make my own mistakes. So that was my move toward the idea of a guru or a teacher. But after seeing this beautiful Bhagavatam, I accepted here was a person who was a teacher, and I wanted to be that person. So a few months later, in January of 1967, that opportunity. Actually, during the meeting in the cabin, Mukunda told us they were on their way to San Francisco, and they were going to start a temple. So, So I asked him a very profound question. My very profound question was, what is a temple? And Mukunda said in a very, very sober way, it's a storefront painted white. So he asked if we would like to come and help him, but we were up on that mountain with a contract with the government. So he said, when that finishes. The contract said we had to be there up until the first rainfall, but that meant no more fires. But, it didn't seem like that would be kind of too soon. So we all went to sleep that night with the idea that later we would go down and meet them. But the next morning, I was responding to the call of nature, and in the situation we lived, there was no running water. We just went out to a stream, and there was no bathroom. We just went out to the forest. So I was going outside, and I opened the door, and there was snow all over the ground. So that was really exciting. We could leave, and we went down to San Francisco. And we, nowadays they have in this plan a lot of what we think, like they use this really fancy word, strategic planning. We didn't know that word, but we started planning. And strategically, how to introduce Swamiji to the population of San Francisco. So the first thing we did was make a poster with a picture of Srila Prabhupada, Swamiji. Swamiji is coming. And then we just said the mantra, because we didn't know when he was going to come, but, Then we got a hint that he would be coming in January. Then we got an address. Swamiji was coming 518 Frederick Street, the mantra, no date. Then we got the date. Swamiji is coming January 17th, 518 Frederick Street, the mantra. So there was a nice turnout at the airport, and then from the airport to the little small temple. I would say the temple was more or less the size of the stage. It wasn't such a big thing. So you always hear old timers say, the temple was packed. Of course it was packed. It was small, but it was packed. And there was, quite a very, very variegated audience, mostly hippies. And, hippies are creative, colorful people. Sometimes they like to dress up like famous personalities. So there was a lot of Jesus Christ people in the audience. John Lowe, who was a very famous Apache leader. It was a colorful audience. But there were some suit and tie people and student types. And it was also very fragrant because hippies didn't always have access to bathing. So they use a lot of these essential oils, particularly patchouli, which is a very pungent oil. So between the patchouli oil and the incense, which in those days we didn't understand the concept of one or two sticks of incense, you just like the whole pack. So, it was an overhead of I found incense in that little building. So Srila Prabhupada came, and there was just a small wooden platform that some student had built. And at the last minute, they thought maybe it should be something to sit on a small wooden platform. But somebody went out in the street and found a discarded sofa and took the cushion. And who knows what had gone on in that sofa, but we took that cushion and put it on the platform. And this was the first Vyasa sign that we didn't know that word. And then he made a small little thing that would stand to hold books. So he accepted that seat, and he was looking out at his audience, and he read a small kirtan, and then he spoke. And considering that the main part of the audience were the hippie people who were really big into peace, peace and love, just like we say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, we fold our hands. And the hippies would greet each other, peace and love, brother, peace and love, sister. And this was a symbol for the peace sign, you know. I don't know, I think we could have a little more of that peace and love these days, but that was the mood, trying to find love. So he started out his lecture, interestingly enough, there is no love in the material world. So that could have been quite put off. But he started, personally I felt relieved, because such a trying to find, you know, where is this love, where is this love, and we weren't getting it. And what you weren't getting was frustrated and a lot of pain, a lot of despair, a lot of anguish. So it was almost very reassuring. Well, you're looking, but it's not there. But then he started speaking about what real love was and the source of real love, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. And we were feeling, those of us in that audience, from him coming a great love, a great wave of love. And it was not like any so-called love we previously experienced, not even from our parents. And in turn, many of us began to fall in love with him. After that, we had a second kirtan, and everybody enthusiastically joined in. And then somebody brought him a little plate with cut up apples and orange. He gave everybody just like, you know, this little piece of prasadam. And nowadays, prasadam means, you know, a great big plate and talk and fruit and, you know, so many things. But this one little piece of fruit from his lotus hand was the most immensely satisfying prasadam that I ever received. And everybody was feeling it so.
My name is Kankadeva Dasi, and I first met Malati in the London Temple in 1970. I was actually going there to meet a friend, and we were flying to Rishikesh to go to Maharishi's ashram because I was initiated by Maharishi in transcendental meditation. But before that, I had met the Hare Krishna people in Berlin, Germany, bought Srila Prabhupada's blue Bhagavad Gita, and I was talking with Hansaduta philosophy, and I also bought some japa beads. And so while I had checked around the Netherlands, I was reading Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, and I was already pretty much convinced that he was the man I was looking for. I had been praying for many years to Lord Jesus to please bring me to my true spiritual path. And by the time I got to London, I told my friend, I'm not going to Rishikesh. I'm going to the London Temple. And that's what we call it. And I was very enthusiastic and helped Jamuna with the deity worship and did Harinam on Oxford Street and ended up staying there for several months. But then my parents wanted me to come back to the United States. I'd been gone for about a year. And I came home for 2 weeks, and then I took a bus to Wheeling, West Virginia for the first Dharmastami festival in Wheeling. And, oh, yeah, I was actually, the bus went to Wheeling, and then I had to hitchhike to Moundsville, and then in Moundsville I walked up and down the street and asked everyone, do you know the Hare Krishna people? Do you know the Hare Krishna people? And one elderly man said, I know where they are. And so he said, I'll drive you there. And he drove me to the Agastura Road that went up to the Vrindavan Farm, the new Vrindavan Farm. And it was all muddy. So I had to take off my sneakers and throw them on my shoulder and walk up barefoot. And it was Dharmastami with Brahmananda and Vishnu John. And it was an interesting time because that was at the time when Srila Prabhupada just asked them to leave. They were preaching Mayavadi philosophy. And I met Bhavananda and Kalika at that Dharmastami. And I met our wonderful god sister, Devashakti, that she was the first person to tell me that after I go to the bathroom, I should wash my hands and my feet and my mouth. I remember that very clearly. And we were in a very remote situation, so we were just washing in a stream. But I ended up going back to the Brooklyn Temple, and there were approximately 21 of us in the Brooklyn Temple at that time. Oh, and the reason I didn't stay at New Vrindavan is because Hari Griva told me that if I wanted to stay, I had to get married. And I was only 19 years old, and I was like, I want to get married. I'm looking for Prabhupada. I don't want to get married, but anyway, I went back to Berkeley, and there was about 21 of us, and we wanted to get initiated so we could do some of the deity worship. And Bhavananda wrote to Srila Prabhupada, and he said, I will initiate two or three people. He said, but the rest should wait until I get there in July. And he said, but if I had wings like a dove, I would fly there immediately and give you all an initiation. So we waited, and there were a couple that took initiation. Father got initiation because she was our best cook. And a couple other people, Rukmini, I think, got initiated. No, she was initiated before, but she got second initiation so she could do the deity worship. So when Srila Prabhupada came to New York in 1971 of July, there was about 60 to 80 people that got initiated, right? They came from Detroit. They came from Miami. Yeah, every day Prabhupada did initiations for 3 days. He did initiations. In the morning, he would do first initiation, and in the afternoon, he would give second initiation. So I was really fortunate, and I guess because I'd been there for a year and a half, I got first and second on the same day. Anyway, I have a question. When I got my Gayatri initiation from Srila Prabhupada, someone brought him a banana from the fire sacrifice, and he had a rose on his desk. And he took a spoon, and he put some of the banana in the rose, smashed it into the rose, and then he laid it down. But I was too shy to ask him, what are you doing, or what are you going to do with that? Do you know what he did? No? Anyway, I was wondering if he was going to eat it later. But when I got my initiation, he said to me, so what is your name? And I said, Susie, because in those days they called me Susie Sankirtan. But he goes, not that name. And then one of the devotees said, but Srila Prabhupada, you haven't given her other name yet. And so then he said, oh. And then he said, your new name is Kanka. Kanka Devi. Kanka was the daughter of a great king who was a great devotee of Krishna. And then his eyes got really big. And he said, so, you will be a great devotee? And I was like, okay. And then he asked me, the regular principles, and he said, how many rounds do you chant every day? And I said, 16. And his eyes got really big, and he said, that's all? So I said, well, more about the energy. So then, as I was getting ready to leave, he said, so, tell me your new name. And I said, I couldn't remember. And he said, see, you've forgotten already. And if you get a chance, there's a memory tape. It's called the Prabhupada with Humor. And it has all the memories of Srila Prabhupada. Because he had such a wonderful, loving sense of humor. And he liked to tease. And he was just so, to be in that room with him at that time was just a really amazing experience. So I don't want to take up any more time, Maharaj.
This time is so wonderful, it's spent. Everyone is. Now, Mother Deva Shakti, you have to come up on stage and it doesn't matter. Variety is the spice of life.
We went to the same university.
Oh.
In the same department.
I see.
Oriental philosophy. I studied my whole life to finally get into this fantastic university in Chicago so I could study Oriental philosophy. I was just determined I wanted to find the most ancient scriptures. That came from a very religious family. I didn't read. We're like, so I finally got to the university, and I was 17, 18 at the time. And we had 5 days before the classes started. I was going to major right away in philosophy. And I decided I would find some book to read during those 5 days. And I went to their massive bookshop. And I looked everywhere. And I finally found one book that really interested me. And that was called the Bhagavad Gita. So I went to my room and I started reading Bhagavad Gita. And the next day I decided I didn't have to go to the university. That this book had everything I was looking for. And I had to find people who could teach me how to live as Bhagavad Gita was written. So I left. I left the university. And I went to San Francisco. Because I figured, if anywhere in the world, that's where I'll find the people. And there in San Francisco, I found the devotees. But there were no women on the Sankirtan party, so I was too shy to speak to the men. And again, I had very different backgrounds. So because I was too shy to speak to the men, I went back to my parents' house and started practicing Bhagavad Gita on my own, chanting Om, and everything there was in the Bhagavad Gita. And by Krishna's mercy, I found the devotees there in Philadelphia. And they had just come from 26 Second Avenue to open a temple there. There were 3 devotees, and I was the 4th devotee. So Prabhupada was in the country at the time, but because I was from that city,
And there were so few devotees, I decided it would be nicer if I stayed and helped them because no one else had joined from there yet. So we went to the schools and colleges and did speech sankirtan and everything we could to push on Krishna consciousness there. And very quickly they wanted me to get initiated because I was the only girl, so they needed someone to cook and do pujari work. So a month and a half, they had me write to Prabhupada. He initiated me by letter. And Gurdas, he performed our marriage sacrifice and the initiation ceremony. And Gurdas, that night, was leaving to come to India because Prabhupada had told him he wanted a temple in Vrindavan. So Gurdas, he said to us, Prabhupada wants us to go to Vrindavan and open a temple. Why don't you come and help us? So from that second, the only